Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hello everyone and welcome to The Media Show. My name's Cole Madden and joining us this week, where we discuss all things in the media, is Russ Cluett. How are you doing, sir?
I'm well, mate. I'm very well.
I'm well.
I'm pretty much recovered from last Friday's festivities.
Can I just say, you've done all the sound stuff at the Bash and you've done a fantastic job.
Apart from the hissing on the Mac show, that's all right.
I think that was rain.
Apart from my bit.
Well, it's actually the mic, the amplifiers in Ewan's desk.
Also joining us this week, we have Alex Fox. How are you doing?
I'm not Carl Madden, or nor is my wife.
What do you mean by not your bit, by the way, just then?
Well, I must say, I did listen to the whole Bash, and what a terrific experience it was. Until they went to play my song. And it all went quiet over there.
That's because your song was so awesome, if we played it, it would have crashed the internet.
Yeah. You know what? I choose to believe you.
That song was on a need-to-know basis. Nobody else needed to know.
Plus, it might have had copyright issues. We don't know.
Yeah, that's probably true. I did steal it.
Also joining us this week, our fresh new boy on the block, we have Chris Woods. How are you doing, sir?
Fresh meat, ripe for the slaughter. I am not too bad. Ears are weird because I'm suffering from this cold, but aside from that, we're all good.
Oh, not you as well.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever. You just power through. I'm raring to go. It's going to be good.
Well, since you are, let's kick off then. We have news that you view. The internet TV surface that's coming to the UK from mainly the BBC has kicked off in this country, apparently.
Hooray!
it's all kicking off at UView.
Apparently, only 2 years late.
2 years. Well, that's good for a British thing. I mean, come on. So, Sir Alan Sugar announced this box, which is going to cost us £2.99, and we'll be able to get all the access to all the terrestrial channels, BBC, ITV, Channel 4, Channel 5, obviously. We'll be able to pause and rewind live TV. There'll be a host of other services on there, lots of HD things. Now, it's all going to come out in a box. I thought this was going to be a software service. Did anyone else?
It'd be lovely if it was a software service. Why is it a box? And also, if Alan Sugar's going to be in charge of it, it's going to have an Amstrad logo on it, it's going to have a disk drive no one else can use, and a stupid motherboard that cracks in half when you try and take the computer open. It's rubbish.
Alan Sugar is our premier businessman in this country.
Yeah, all right, mate. So this box is going to be made by Humax. I assume they're an OEM, aren't they?
I've never heard of them in my entire life.
Humax made the best FreeSat box.
Yeah, they also
made the best FreeSat box.
FreeView HD box recorder as well.
Oh, so it is a good name then, is it?
Yeah, they're pretty good. Of course, the irony being that Amstrad used to make boxes for Sky, and then Sky bought Amstrad, so Amstrad can't actually make the boxes for UView.
Damn. Well, they're still Viglin. I'm sure Sugar still owns Viglin.
Mm.
Yeah, it bursted.
Yeah, you say the irony. I say that it saved our bacon.
So this box is going to cost £2.99. Why is it so expensive?
Well, he says it's okay because in a couple of years it should only cost £99.
It should be £99 now.
Well, it'll be him and his friends with one, and then in a couple of years we can all get one.
I don't know about the box, but the interface looks really nice.
Well, they've had plenty of time to work on it.
I've heard if you buy one at the £2.99 price, you get one of his free video phones with it.
Really? That you can actually... Mm. The only other person who owns one is Alan Sugar.
Yeah. It's a direct line to Lord Sir Sugar. What more could you want?
I want my money back, God. Is what I want.
Apparently, they're also going to offer it out to ISPs, though. So they can build in some sort of package of their own, like BT and TalkTalk have been mentioned.
BT have got their own system. I mean, BT Vision, which is basically this on steroids... I mean, this is the point. I mean, they're charging us When you say £299, I think people went, oh, that's not too bad. It's £299. And I think people, what they're offering has been available on so many services for so long that there might be a couple of people in this country that haven't got it. And the reason these boxes are so expensive, because the seven people that are going to be able to have to buy it because they haven't already got a satellite dish that does it for them, even though they don't use it anymore, or an old Freeview box, or a PC, or an iPad, or a Mac, or a Virgin box, or any BT Fusion I've already mentioned. It's a bit like the Generation Game. It's just there's a whole travelator of things coming down that already do this at a less expensive price. And, I mean, they have made a pretty box, and it's probably got a light on the front, which will keep people interested. And it's got bits of software in it, which is probably a broken-down version of all the software you can already get for free on the internet. And you can pause and rewind. Oh, we actually can do that on loads of things already. It's just, it's going to be so limiting to start off with. The only point to this device is if you built it into a TV so you didn't have to flap around with any of the other stuff, it would make sense. But as it is at the moment, it's a very, very, very expensive alternative to things that are readily available as they are now. Well, I think you know what side of the fence I might be sitting.
What I can't understand is why isn't this a piece of software? Why isn't this being released as a standalone application or as a, you know, as a web app or something like that?
Because
they could sell it as an application on every single platform if they needed to, if they wanted to.
Does it come down to the fact that this £299 you're paying for is the box and that's it, end of payment, no more subscriptions or anything like that?
Yeah, there's no subscriptions for anything that's on it anyway.
Yeah, you don't have to pay. You don't pay for the iPlayer. You don't pay for the ITV player. You don't pay for the Channel 5 one or the Channel 4 one or how many other.
There's nothing that's coming onto that box that isn't available somewhere else for free.
Well, what you're paying for is an aggregator. This is the first aggregate, you know, media aggregator, and they've decided to charge £299 for it.
It is a bit steep.
Yeah, you're paying a premium for the privilege of convenience because it gathers together your IPTV with broadcast stuff, separates it, denotes the difference, but doesn't make you jump through hoops to get to it. So it's nice in that sense, and the UE looks nice, but,
isn't there sort of quite a few little boxes that you can buy similar, if you like, to the Apple device? Probably. There's loads of them, like the Rockers and the things like that, that don't cost this amount of money. And, I think this whole thing is actually fairly farcical, and the reason I think it's taken 2 years is because it's taken someone 2 years to have the nerve to stand up and announce it.
Well, Alex, you sent a link in for something called iCan Freeview HD Receiver for Maplins, which is £35.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it cheaper yesterday, but the point I was trying to make with this, okay, it hasn't got a hard drive in it, but how much is a hard drive and the software it takes to run that? Now, this is a, you know, Freeview HD box, okay, so it's HD, so that's important. It hasn't got Wi-Fi built in it, it's got an Ethernet port, but how much is a Wi-Fi port?
The UView hasn't got Wi-Fi. The first release hasn't got any Wi-Fi on it, it's just a network port.
Okay, so this £35 beginning to sound even better. And this is just a box that does Freeview HD. It's got BBC iPlayer built in. It's got all the fairly average, you know, 8-day programmer timers and all that sort of business and all the rest of it. And it's £35. And we're talking about something that, if this is £35, if iCan Freeview HD Receiver did a recordable version with an updated bit of software, it might cost £50. And we're talking about the same thing as they're charging £299 for. This is in the shops now, fellas.
And it's nothing to do with Alan Sugar.
Yeah.
I'm not calling it.
Yeah, really, when we boil it down, we're all very concerned with Alan Sugar, aren't we?
So just finally ending off this story, who's interested in buying one?
As soon as it comes down to £99, I will consider it. But the fact that you can't get anything else on it, there's no stores on it or anything like that.
My parents would be interested in buying one.
At release price?
Only if my mum doesn't know about it. Yeah, I mean, the reason being is I can't, because of this is the ease of use. Where they live in all these, you know, graded house and all this sort of stuff. So you can't stick a dish up. The Freeview's okay. They can't have cable, obviously, because they're in the middle of a field and things like that. And this to them would be, oh, does that mean I don't have to sit upstairs and use the iPlayer? No, you've never had to do that. All you have to do is bring the laptop down, but that's just too complicated. So this to them is what I can watch the iPad. They would probably pay, maybe not £300, but they'd pay £200 or £100 just to be able to watch the iPlayer because of it's on a remote control rather than on a button on a keyboard. Yeah. And that, to me, is bordering on exploitation.
About you, Chris?
Well, I would be interested in picking one up when they got cheaper, because when you actually look at the tech specs and what they've been working to, there's been a lot of harmonization with the European Broadcasting Union, and specs-wise, I have a feeling they're going to try and roll a similar service out across Europe. So we could end up seeing these kinds of boxes all over the place. And if you look at the requirements for the technical specs, actually, they're pretty sophisticated. They've got systems on chips, they've got codec and decryption support, graphics acceleration. So one wonders, perhaps, if you could get your technical claws in there, and perhaps do a little bit of jiggery-pokery with the firmware, and you might have a nice little box to play with. So perhaps in a couple of years, it'll be a really nice base platform that you could play XBMC on or something.
Mm. Well,
who knows?
British Tech coming to a Freeview box near you soon.
Just as an extra point, if they decided to release this as a piece of software, how much would everyone pay for that?
They'd never be allowed to. Unfortunately, I think looking realistically, it's just not going to happen. But if it was to happen pie in the sky, I think they could probably charge £50 for it, and people might even buy it.
Oh yeah, well I'd probably jump at that.
If it's got a 10-foot interface, and you can just run it on an HTPC, or if they even offered it as a bootable disk for people who are running little boxes, you know,
yes,
yeah. Put your disk in, fire it up, everything's stored in the cloud, boom, instant media center PC.
I'd love for it to be integrated into Apple TV or something like that. Something I've already got. You know,
where's the cut, Madden? Where's the cut?
There you go. That's always 50 the problem.
£50 for a little dongle you stick in the back of your television or something like that. Off you go.
Now we're talking.
Don't they have? I mean, a lot of the machines, they have those slots that no one ever knew what they were for.
Service slots.
Well, there's now a Roku. There's now a version of the Roku box that's. I think it's either coming out or it's out. That's actually in a stick, and you just plug it into your TV and off you go. I think.
But I mean, let's knock this conversation on the head very soon. But with the new TVs that are coming out, which are the internet-based TVs, first of all, aren't they software upgradable? And second of all, if they're internet-based, then why do you need this? Surely you'll be able to use the service via, a UI on the machine, which basically is pulling it off the internet.
Well, yeah, you'd hopefully it'll be built in at some point. Like Freeview is. Freeview is.
like an Xbox 360 app. You know, so it would just be another app which would pull everything into one place in one app.
Well, we'll see. We'll see when. I mean, this is released. Is this released now? When's the release date?
I think they're officially released, but nobody has any.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see how it goes. I don't think it's going to be that big a hit to begin with, but we'll see how long it lasts. Also announced, Google Nexus 7 to launch in the UK without any music, magazines or TV shows. Google is to launch its £169 7-inch tablet in the UK on the 19th of July. But unlike in the States, where it comes with loads and loads of media you can get, just like the Kindle Fire, when it comes to Britain, all the media companies have failed to sign licensing agreements with Google. So is this going to hamper the sales of this device as soon as it comes out? It's always the same thing. It always comes down to licensing in this country. I've got to say, I don't know if these agents, these media companies are just so greedy, or they've got other things up their sleeve and they're just trying to buy their time. What do you reckon, guys?
Is anyone going to notice, though, that you can't get this stuff on them? Because you'll have there'll be a Spotify application. There'll be a Netflix application.
This is the point, isn't it? For £150, I'd download a magazine in a PDF format and stick it on myself.
Yeah.
There's ways around. The only thing is, this isn't going to have the Apple-esque click one button download onto your screen. You might actually have to use it in the same way as you've used everything in the history of the universe previous to the iPad. It's not that difficult if you remember. Just don't be too lazy in your thinking. I think 150 quid for something which I feel is the right size for a tablet for me. You know, to be honest, for 150 quid, I don't care if it's just a pretty picture. I paid more than that for my first picture viewer.
Whoa.
So that,
takes me back.
Yeah, that puts it into context how good deal 150 quid for this is.
160, yeah.
Well, you wrote 150.
So I know, sorry, 170. It's £169 it's coming out.
I'm paying 150 and you're going to have to make up the difference.
Sounds fair. What do you reckon, Chris?
It's all right, wise, isn't it? It's not worth it. If you look at the spec, all right, it's nice if you want a tablet that just does what it does. You can always put on, if you've got your Google Locker set up already, then sure, you just stick the app on. Bosh, off you go. But it's not got a rear camera. It lacks a few things. So as a tablet to replace something like the new Galaxy, that's my on the fence noise.
It's got a nail in that fence, isn't it?
The blanket rights licensing thing is just a pain. And all the rights holders are holding out for more money, and Google's going, well, come on, guys, you know, sign the deal already. And then they're going, no, we want more money. But it's a different battle in America because it's just the way that the rights holders and the law deal with each other. It's always been a bit more, well, we'll do it first and license later in the States. But in the UK, it's much more, well, we will sue you if you do it, which is why they're being held back. But there you go. But they're going to have the Google Play Store. So, you know, I guess people are used to having all you can eat stuff in the States. But in the UK, I think people have got their siloed stuff already. You know, as long as it supports AAC, then people just drag their iTunes collection over. But the trick is going to be to make the conversion convenient because people still want the convenience of migrating.
So you might play AAC, like the music codec, actually, but would it play the video? What's Apple's video? It's MP4, isn't it, I suppose?
It's H.264 in a MOV wrapper.
Yeah.
But it should be able to do it.
Yeah, but to be honest, I mean, you live an Apple fanboy lifestyle. Everything you do is integrated. We know that and we love you for it. But for some of us, if I want to put a movie on something or I want to put a bit of music on something, I probably have quite a lot of Apple stuff, but I'm still basically move things around myself. It wasn't that long ago I was using the Nokia suite to move things onto my N95.
You masochist.
No, but my point is it was all very, very doable. And please don't forget how absolutely simple it used to be anyway. We've just forgot how to... We're turning into those people in Wally that float around in the big chairs. Don't forget, you know, move your fingers occasionally and they won't get fat.
Hey, I'm looking forward to that.
it is
intravenous curry.
Oh dear. It's inexorable. We are going to end up with a situation where you have your siloed cloud information with Google and all your stuff is there, and someone will come up with a nice tool that will sync your Apple and your Google clouds, so wherever you go you have the same stuff. But until then, everybody who's not an Apple fanboy, like everyone else, including me, will just keep on doing what they're doing. Exactly as you said, you know, they'll just move their stuff around exactly as they have been on the computer, through USB sticks, all that kind of stuff. It's no big deal. We just do it anyway already, don't we?
Well, that's true.
But it's always nice to have it there, isn't it? It's always just nice to have it dragged down for you.
It is. I like automation.
It's just nice.
You're just not taking in the a massive percentage of the universe that are paranoid.
Hey,
I think they're an undervalued section of society, the morbidly paranoid.
They can't be, they got you.
Exactly. And I must be right because people keep telling me so.
Yes. Okay, so again, same question as the UView. Who's going to pick up a Google Nexus 7?
You know what? I can honestly say I really, really, really am tempted.
Russ?
I'm not even tempted because I've got an iPad, so I'm sorted for the next couple of years.
Okay. Chris?
I'm about as tempted to get this as I am the Microsoft Surface.
What, the full big one?
It needs to be magnesium. Magnesium.
Well, the thing make sure you don't get any naked flames near that nice magnesium body.
The thing is, in all honesty, I don't have an iPad. I was recently going to buy one because I never wanted one until the new one came out. And situation changed and I thought, you know what, I can't afford to blow, because there's no point in my use case not going for the top of the range iPad. And I just went to buy it. I was talking to Carl, let's go and buy me an iPad. And, you know, at the last minute, I just lost my nerve and thought, you know what, do I really want to blow so much money on something that intrinsically I don't need? And I know once I've used it for a couple of days, I'm going to be really disappointed, because it's just going to be, to me, just a big iPhone. Mm. I've been waiting for something that can do what I need it to do and make me feel better about the fact that I'm not wasting so much money on it.
Well, personally, I'm going to wear a cross, go down to PC World when this comes out and have a little play and then make my mind up.
Don't forget the garlic.
Yeah.
The only nice thing about the Nexus is that because it's Android, all you'll have to do is wait 3 weeks, go on XDA developers, and someone will have a nice little alternative solution for you.
That's true. I do like to hack it and stuff, so that's...
Yeah. Free plus, and open.
Plus, if I get one, I can play with Android stuff, because I haven't got anything that's Android-based, so...
Yeah.
And that's like that price is not banning, like, you know, barring me from entry either. So, and there's no contract to buy or anything like that. Like when you get a phone, so yeah, I'm pretty tempted. I've got to say,
yes.
We'll have your review when you do get it then.
Okay. Oh, absolutely.
Or we'll have your explanation for why you haven't bought one.
Indeed. Well, probably because it was PC World. But there you go.
Probably. What are you doing in PC World?
if you go in there, you've got to ask for the version with two RAMs.
And a goat.
Oh dear. Right. What's next? Next story. This is Russ's story. So, Free Source filmmaker brings Valve's 3D animation tool to the public. Apparently, we're open for beta sign-ups at the moment. Russ, can you tell us a bit more about this service?
Well, I'll read what's on the page first. Valve has officially announced the beta release of its Source Filmmaker, a free tool that lets users create animated movies using assets from Team Fortress 2. The company notes that all its own video shorts are made with the tool, and its release will allow others to create animation with the rendering power of a modern gaming PC. I'm very excited about this because...
No, didn't say that bit. It ended at PC. You're making
PC,
the rest up now.
Full stop. I will now deliver my opinion.
Oh, that makes
in
sense.
I'm very excited about this thing because ever since I was building my own levels with the Doom engine and using the build engine which came with Duke Nukem 3D, I've always thought, wow, if the graphics were just to get a little bit better on these engines, then you could use them for films, or you could use them for, you know, children's TV series. If you have a look at some of the demos that Valve has done with the Source Filmmaker, they look really impressive. I mean, you can tell it's the Source engine, because the Source engine just has a kind of a look. It's that Half-Life 2, Team Fortress 2 kind of look. But if you were to build, you know, if you were to do stuff with this game called Dear Esther, which is a kind of an adventure game, and it's very photorealistic. If you were to do, you know, character based stuff using stuff in using those levels, it'd look incredible. And of course, because it's free, you don't have to pay for. Well, you've got to get the models from somewhere, but there's free modeling tools like Blender 3D. Which have produced amazing looking 3D models for this kind of stuff. But I'm very excited, and they've actually got tutorials on the site for basics, recording, editing sound, manipulating curves, clip motion and puppeteering, facial animation and lighting. So it's all there. I'm very excited. I have signed up for a beta invite. Whether I'll get it or not, I'm not sure, but. I shall as soon as I hear something, I shall install it on my PC. I shall have a play around with it. I shall create a video, and I shall make it available for the viewing public. And because I'm not an animator, well, not a 3D animator, it probably be rubbish.
And well, then you
what
can
does everyone
it.
Else think? What does everyone else think?
I'm looking for. I can't believe that something that looks this powerful, from, you know, what they're suggesting, is going to be totally free.
Have you never heard of Valve software before?
Well, Yeah, I have, because, you know, I bought Half-Life and stuff. But, you know, oh, I don't know. I mean, the fact that they're going to send it out for free is just amazing to me. Obviously, I'm going to have a little play. I mean, I'm not an animator. I have no idea about creative compositions or anything like that. So, but I'll have a play, definitely.
They've made it easy. They've made it very easy to do.
Cold-proof.
No, yeah. It's not that easy.
Oh.
It's only available for 3-year-olds and up. I like the idea of this because of the, it's like with so many other things. I mean, this isn't a reference to anything pervy at all. There's so many kids sitting in their bedroom that could create marvelous, marvelous things. You know, kids in the last 20 years, what? They've been able to make music. They've been able to make certain films. They've been able to, you know, learn to program. There's loads of things they've been able to. They've been able to write PC games. And some of the most amazing things that, you know, actually heartlifting and, you know, making life more enjoyable have come from these people. And if you give them the tools, then they can create. And it's only going to, you know, it's only going to help the rest of us to enjoy things. Some of the things you see, some of these small shorts you see put to music, and you find out some 14-year-old boy's done it, and you just think, this is incredible, because of 5 years ago, 10 years ago, the best studios on the planet couldn't get anywhere near it. And so many of these tools, what it needs the creative mind, not necessarily the pixels, you know. And you're opening it out to you know, people that haven't been through the schools and the colleges to learn the right way to do it. And the only way to advance any art form is to make it accessible to people that haven't been indoctrinated into the correct procedure. You know, music's a great case in point. And, you know, films, you know, directors these days, a lot of people out there are doing really incredible things because they haven't been told the right way to do it. And this is the next step. And this is a value, here you go, a value for Valve to society. And I believe that completely.
Mm, that's right. I remember turn of the century, a younger me opening Flash for the first time and going, let's see what I can do in this. And I can just imagine kids my age back in 2000, 2001, opening this for the first time and going, yeah, this looks fun, and doing incredible things with it. Because when you're a school kid, you have so much free time. Yeah. And those guys will grow up to be the creatives of the future. So this is great. This is really great.
It's what I was saying about making, building levels for Doom. I mean, that was a huge thing back in... back in the early to mid 90s, mm-hmm. creating levels for all these games that actually came with editors, or you could just get them off BBSs. And this will be, you know, hopefully this will spark a new revolution.
And always, normally, yeah. the levels that you're talking about were always normally more fun to play than the originals, the ones that came with the game.
But you know what would be interested if someone does like the experience? You remember 6 months ago, the whole of whichever Star Wars episode it was came out, and because everyone did a tiny little piece.
The 30-second thing.
Yeah, well, everyone did 30 seconds. Well, can you imagine the collaboration with this? Because of what you can actually do, you can send people your, I don't know how it works, your frames, your sprite, your whatever, and someone else can carry on where you left off, and somebody else can add this to it, and someone else can add that to it. So as a collaborative tool, can you imagine the extraordinary things that could be put together across the world? Apolitical, you know, whatever education system you come from, there's no, you know, no one can interfere. And you might get some of the most incredible things known to man. Just like you said with the game. You know, people created the most marvelous things because their minds were open to it, and it was a collaboration. I just think this is the start of something really, really big.
I'm surprised it hasn't happened before, because these engines get more and more powerful every year, and they look, you know, most of them look better than a lot of animated films. So as soon as if you've just got the display engine, if you rip out the AI and everything else that turns it into a game, and you've just got a display engine, then you can do so much more with it.
Is there any word on when it will be open to everyone?
Don't know. They're releasing beta invites kind of every so often. If you want an invite, you can go to sourcefilmmaker.com and go and sign up for a beta invite there.
You need a Steam account, and it assesses the power of your machine when you click request. So make sure you do it from your octo-core monster machine, and then you probably get an invite.
If you think about it, though, this is the Steam engine. This is an engine that's about, how old is it now, 6-7 years old? It's an old engine.
But don't forget, though, they revised the Steam engine, the source engine, for TF2, and they replaced the Counter-Strike source engine with the TF2 engine about a year and a half ago. So it's fairly recent. This latest iteration is pretty sophisticated. Yeah.
Did I call it the Steam engine there? I meant the Source engine. But it's old, but it still looks amazing, and you can do some great things with it.
Well, if anyone listening gets accepted into the beta and they do some work, make sure you send us a link so we can have a look and we can
That's beta to English speakers, not beta.
Beta.
It's beta. To
so I'm a Londoner.
Speakers. So am I.
A beta is something you hit the drum with. Isn't it?
Stop it, you lot. I'll mute you all. Don't think I can. Can't. Oh, next story. Def Leppard covers... Oh, Def Leppard. Who remembers them? I remember driving around in my van listening to their tape for hours on end. Yeah, okay. Sad admission, but there you go.
You said it, mate.
I know. Def Leppard covers its own songs to get digital revenues. A long-running dispute with Universal Music means that the English rock band from Sheffield takes advantage of a law that protects cover versions... And so what they've done is they've covered their own songs. Now, I had a listen, and to me, they sound slightly different. I'm not saying they sound bad, but they do sound slightly different. Now, there's two facets to this story. First of all, the fact that they've done a cover version of their own songs. Have any of you guys listened? What do you reckon of the cover versions first?
You know we've all listened.
You're breaking the illusion. You're breaking the magic, Alex.
I thought they were tremendous. Actually, you know what? We're split down the middle here. I happen to have enjoyed Def Leppard in the past, but I am of an age where I was around when it was new, and they were good for their time. No matter what these kids think, and I quite like the covers, but there's a sadness that it's a cover. In a funny way, it's like everything old gits like me feel. It's a bit too clean. It's a bit too smart. I can hear noises in the background that I couldn't hear when I was driving along in a rickety old car with the windows open, smoking, trying to look cool. You know, and there's notes in there I didn't even know were in there, but that might just be because I couldn't hear them in my old rickety car. But, you know, the sad part and the real part of this story is the fact that they had to do it.
Well, that's the second facet of the stories, but we'll come to that one in a second.
But as for the first facet of the story, it's nice, it's pretty. If you've never heard the originals, you'll enjoy these as much as if they were the originals. But, you know, if you're old sods like a couple of us here, you might just feel a little bit miffed about the do it.
Yeah, I'm not a Def Leppard fan at all. So the only thing, the only thing I could notice, before the show, I listened to both versions. It all sounds a bit cleaner. The ride cymbal was slightly louder in the choruses.
Are you in your ride cymbals?
You're such a musical geek, aren't you, Russ?
So musical, he's even heard the word chorus.
I love my ride cymbals, yes. It's just before the middle eight. Yeah. Or a bridge, as some people call it. Yeah, it's sad that they had to cover their own stuff, but we'll move on to that.
From a production standpoint, they're very similar, and they've obviously done this intentionally, and they've done a pretty good job considering that the gear they most likely used, they will have undoubtedly sourced some similar gear and probably had some in the knocking around their garage, but you can't deny that digital is just so much of an improvement on even the good quality 80s gear. It sounds slightly more refined. And there's some different EQing and some different production techniques in order to try and match. And they've done a pretty good job. I was comparing the old one and the new one of Pour Some Sugar On Me side by side. And it's remarkable how similar they are. I'm quite impressed. The engineer's done a really good job.
Well, until they put the background noise of a 3-litre Ford Capri with a blown engine in the background, it's never going to sound the same.
What they need to do, they need to get hold of some old TDK D90 tapes.
Yeah, copy it.
Get an old Not even chrome ones. They need to be normal. Ferrous ones.
Of course, yeah.
They need to be the rubbish ones, and they need to just copy it down on the tape, and then they need to do it in a ghetto blaster. So they do tape to tape.
That's
and
right.
Then it'll sound like the original.
Yep. And they need to put Dolby C on.
Yeah.
I think you may have got it.
Dolby S.
By Jove, I think you may have. You know.
Now, okay, so now we come to the issue of why they've done this. And apparently what it is they and their record company, Universal Music, are no fans of each other, apparently. And they've discovered a loophole in the law that if they do a copy of their old song and release it, they can get much more money from the digital rights by releasing a cover version than they can from the original. Now, doesn't this sort of like fly in the face of what the record companies often tell us, that they are protecting their artists? They're doing everything they do to protect their artists and make sure they don't starve and they keep producing music. But here you are having a fairly, you know, they're still pretty big, Def Leppard, not as big as they were in the 80s maybe, and they're saying, no, you don't give us hardly anything for our digital stuff, so we're going to make our own and we're going to cream it all back.
You missed a word. It's protecting their artists' revenues.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people see labels as evil, and sometimes labels have become evil. They're big, massive, monolithic corporations. They're businesses, though, and you've got to run a business like a business, and these businesses ultimately want to make enough money to keep the lights on. And that's where they fall out with musicians. Musicians see their, you know, their beautiful musical compositions as something to be treasured and something to keep safe and nurture. And it's a fundamental clash with basic business principles, which is why labels are always viewed as being evil. I don't know the full story behind this, but I suspect that their contract with Universal was so old that it didn't include a clause that involved digital sales. So Universal at that point, as any other business would do, will go, well, this isn't covered in, you know, there's no mention of digital royalties, so we'll have to either classify them like maybe radio plays, or maybe view them as promotional, or maybe bundle them in with something else, and they'll have some kind of fallback clause, but they will have never negotiated an updated version of the contract. And all modern recording contracts have specific clauses that include any and all future forms of broadcasting or distribution, be it digital, beamed up to a satellite, into space on a spaceship, all that kind of stuff. But this is probably where they've fallen over, or they were very unlucky. And anything that wasn't explicitly mentioned as a phonogram recording on a disc or a record would have been counted as a work for hire, in which case they got screwed, because works for hire make the band nothing. So I can understand why Def Leppard had done this. And I'm quite surprised that they managed to kind of, you know, get their way out of the contract, because usually contracts are for a fair while if it's a recording contract. Mm. So,
what worries me in this respect is, I imagine, what's happened with this is you're going to get a few new people into Def Leppard. Now, Def Leppard's only covered a few songs. Now, with the publicity of this, there are going to be some young people out there that have heard of Def Leppard for the first time, and they're going to hear a couple of songs, and the first thing they're going to do, they're going to go to iTunes or wherever it is and download Def Leppard. They'll get a couple of songs, which these guys are going to get the full cut off, but the vast majority of what they're going to now buy is going to go straight back to the company that they're trying to argue with in the first place. I think they should have released this once they'd literally covered the entire catalogue, so that there was the option if somebody was... Because this is going to promote Def Leppard. The story in itself is going to give them publicity. And so I think they should have waited until they'd literally covered their entire back catalogue and then let out a Def Leppard's Greatest Hits 1 and 2... remastered, redone as tomorrow, and then people could have bought with, you know, sent the money to them.
But if they do what you're suggesting, Alex, then Def Leppard are still going to collect their old royalties anyway, because they're going to be buying it on old format stuff like the CDs and, well, it's just CDs basically, which apparently they're not that perturbed about, I don't think. It's just the digital downloads that they refuse to do because they get such a small cut of that revenue. They don't see it worth them releasing them.
Yeah, sure, but the people that you're now going to entice into buying Def Leppard songs are going to not buy a CD. They're going to go straight to iTunes and download it. So that's what I'm saying. They should have waited till they had their best of back catalogue ready to go and then made this big fuss so everybody went out and bought it. Because right now, the majority of sales that are going to be bought off of this publicity, the money's going to go to Universal.
Or they're going to see it not in iTunes and they're going to look for other means, probably legally, to pay.
I don't hope it's illegal, but I do hope they get what they want out of it.
The thing that they're going to benefit from is that the fans will almost unilaterally side with the band. Because it's not the label that has fans, except for very rare circumstances. It's always the artists. So the artists will have a massive fan base that are receptive to this, and they will just go and buy it, like Legion. And so when they continue to forge their old recordings, and I applaud them for forging, it's great that they're putting the effort in to actually do it like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they drip feed it to the fans, Universal will see, oh man, like everyone's buying every song. We're losing out here big time. Hi, Def Leppard. Yeah, it's Universal. Yeah. Could we arrange a meeting for next week to renegotiate? Yeah. Cool. Thanks. Yeah. Call us back.
There's some clever people behind this. I'm not sure what way it's going, but you know, if they do win out the day, I think you're going to see an awful lot of more people trying this.
Well, that'd be good. Because like the story says, AC/DC haven't released anything on iTunes either. So, and that's a massive band, AC/DC. Well, it is for me anyway.
Well, quite recently, it was a long time till Pink Floyd got involved, and it was even longer till the Beatles got involved.
Now, Rush, you've been quite quiet. Any thoughts?
He's grinding his teeth.
I'm just not a big Def Leppard fan. I mean, I'm with Chris. I applaud them for trying to make it sound as close as they possibly can. I think it's really well done. Whoever they got to do it, he obviously knows what he's doing. Either that, or it's all been triggered in some horrible way. I don't know. I want to see what they do next. I want to see if they're going to do more stuff. You know, if this is just the start, then let's see where it goes after this.
It's interesting. I picked up on a Boing Boing article which has an interview with one of the members of the band, and he explains that their contract is such that Universal can't do anything without with the band's music without their permission. So they just sent them a letter saying, no matter what you want, you're going to get no as an answer, so don't even bother asking. And they've left it at that. So that means that the band had a good legal advisor when they signed that contract, which is, it looks like it's worked out in their favour after all that.
Yeah.
I suspect they're doing this because they wanted revenues from digital sales, and the labels come to them and gone, okay, we'll sell your music digitally, but it's still going to be counted as as recoupable, because I bet the band still hasn't recouped. I bet they will have been paid in advance and they haven't recouped on it. So the label's going, we need to make our money back, guys. And the band are going, hang on a minute, no, we want this money. It's all business dealings. But, you know, if I was in the band, I would be going, hell yeah, let's do this.
You know what they want to do?
If I was a Def Leppard fan, I'd be delirious.
The hardcore fans will love this stuff. Because it's new version, even if they can't tell the difference, it's a new version. It's something they've just recorded. Oh, got to get that.
Yeah, what they want to do is they want to get on the X Factor.
I think most modern artists wouldn't survive more than a few weeks on X Factor and stuff like that.
I know, but the irony would be such that everyone would know who Def Leppard was.
Yeah. Moving on. Okay, we have early word on The Dark Knight Rises. There was a preview. Sorry, a critic screening that took place on Friday, July the 6th, and apparently ended in a standing ovation. So, hopefully, why is someone laughing at that?
Yes, it's finished! It's everybody clapped the film.
Hang on. Well, right. Done, so, you've had things in the past, like X-Men 3, terrible. Spider-Man 3, not very good. Godfather Part 3, oh my God. I mean, because the third film is hard. The second one's bad enough, but the third one is really hard. And if Chris Nolan has pulled it out of the bag, I am so looking forward to this film.
God, those Nolan sisters are really talented.
It's gonna be epic. It is gonna be epic. There's no way it can't be.
That's what I think now. I was nervous, but now I'm getting more excited as the day approaches.
It better be good because it's the last one he's doing, isn't it?
Well, he said that.
That's it for this. Well, no, because that's it. It's finished.
We don't know how it ends, obviously, because we just haven't seen it yet. But he said that similarly. I think he said something along those lines after he'd done the second one. He said, "That's it. I'm not doing no more." And it's just the fact that him and his brother came up with a story that can tie it all up, that they've done a third one.
Well, that does then suggest that this will be the last one.
Hmm. Yeah.
Just on the grounds that it's the last one.
So who's going to see this one? I mean, because I'm going to be queuing up to see this one. This is the summer movie I've been waiting for.
Well, as an adult, I wouldn't necessarily queue up to see a superhero film. But as somebody I wouldn't queue up. I'd just wait till all the hype's gone and I'd quietly go in dark sunglasses and a raincoat on so no one knew it was me. I would sit in the back, chuckle a little bit, probably enjoy the film and come out thinking, God, Carl's desperate. And then I'd go home and think, that was a nice afternoon, but it's not going to change my life.
What I will probably do is do the same thing that I did with Avengers and Prometheus, both very good films that I really enjoyed. I'll just wait until a couple of weeks after they've been released, and I'll go up on a Tuesday. Nobody wants to go up. I'll go with a couple of mates on a Tuesday, and I'll probably enjoy it.
You missed a trick, mate, because the Birmingham Giant screen showed the Avengers before they showed Prometheus premiere at midnight.
Really?
So it was me. I went and saw them again. I'd already seen the Avengers, but it was great. It was really, really good. And they're showing The Dark Knight. They're premiering it on the 20th at the Giant screen.
Really?
And I'm gonna be there. It's gonna be amazing.
You know what? What fascinates me? You're talking about a giant screen. Now I remember one of the early new, as I call them, Batmans, because you know if it's not the 1960s 1970s television show, it's not really Batman as far as I'm concerned. But that suit with the extra solid nipples. Now I am wondering how big the nipples are going to be on that screen.
You've got a nipple fixation, dude.
Some people would say I'm quite a big something, yeah. No, but the thing is, what you're missing is this trick that I play quite often, is I watch a film 20 years later than everyone else, and then I go, you know what, the hype was right, that was actually quite good. And then I have a moment to myself, which you lot have all been and gone and forgotten about. I have that moment of thinking, oh, I'm really glad I watched that, and then I get on with
your life.
Real world.
Well, real world sucks, so I'd rather have fantasy.
There's something about going and seeing a premiere when it's you're in a cinema and it's filled with people who are also equally as keen to see the film. There's a certain little kind of frisson of excitement which you don't get when you're in the cinema with two guys at the back who are snogging and a mum and two kids down the front who've come to this just because it's the only thing on that's PG, you know. Like Men in Black 3. I went and watched Men in Black 3 the other day. It was great because there was nobody there, so I could sit in the acoustic centre of the theatre.
Mate.
That's right. I am Sheldon.
I never even went to the Leicester Square premieres of the films that my wife was in. But don't expect me to go to the premiere of something else.
Wow, you're a supportive husband, aren't you?
Eldest son. At least she had some company.
You sent your eldest representative, right?
whilst you stayed at home and cooked dinner. That's nice.
I think I did one of the shows, actually. I can't remember what it was.
Priorities.
On the 20th of July, we'll find out, because that's when it's released in the UK.
In that case, I will see it in August. And I'll be in, because what's it called? Cineworld, I think it is. On Shoreridge in Swindon, actually has decent screens, decent sound, and it can usually be found empty on a Tuesday.
Hey, has the Swindon cinema got the vibrating seats?
I don't want a vibrating seat.
The D-box seats.
I will probably be driving, so that means I'll be drinking Diet Coke, which means if I'm sat in a vibrating seat, there could be some explosive, you know, explosive re-delivery of my pre-filled drinks.
Alternatively, you could go to a cheap cinema on the Continental Drift and just hope for Mother Nature to kick in, couldn't you?
Yeah, could do.
Now, on a sad note, last week we lost out the Eric Sykes at the age of 89 after a short illness. Now, I don't know about you guys, because you're probably too young, but I remember Eric Sykes from his TV show, which was just called Sykes, strange enough, on the BBC, I think it was.
Yep.
And also from his film, The Plank, which you can go and watch for free on YouTube.
It's such a good film.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just amazed that they wrote a film and named it after Carl.
Thanks for that. Now, do you have any memories of Eric Sykes, Alex?
Oh, Eric Sykes. You know what? My first met, I was talking to my wife about him because we, you know, the last few years, you know, my wife and me are about the same age. And, you know, every time one of these people goes, I know it sounds a cliche, but a little bit of you goes mm-hmm. because a little bit of your childhood is disappearing. And because, you know, he was an old man when we were young men, etc. But my first memory of him, as I was discussing with my own wife, was I was terrified of him because he's the first person I ever saw that I knew had a disability. And it was really, really strange because, you know, he wore the really big glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the really big glasses were nothing to do with his eyes. He had clear lenses in them. They were really, really, really sophisticated hearing aid. Because the type of hearing loss he had, it wasn't amplification only he needed. He needed the vibrations recreated. So his glasses, the stem of his glasses actually vibrated and then sent the sound down to his ear so it was vibrating and amplified. And as a kid, these glasses were so bizarre that my first memory was actually terror. I was scared of Eric Sykes. And Hattie Jakes sort of got me through the program. But this guy, I'm not going to use any cliches. He was one of the finest writers, one of the great. He was one of those people that just made you laugh by just looking in the camera and you didn't even know why you were laughing.
Mm-hmm.
He was a brilliant, and I didn't meet him, but he came across, and people have said he was as gentle and kind in real life as he came across on his shows. And, you know, I mean, really, really, I tell you what was funny. I never respond to these RIP things. And I actually, it was funny. It was Russ that wrote an RIP. And that was the first time I knew he'd died. And my first words were, oh, and I swore because I was really quite upset. And I was really shocked that I was upset. And then I wrote a reply and the whole reply was, oh, I'm really sorry he's dead. And this is the first one I've ever responded to that shows you how much I care. And then I deleted it because I thought, you know what? I don't want Eric Sykes to be the reason that I do something that I don't do. And so I just sat there. But I was the closest. I actually wrote out the tweet to reply and say, I'm really, 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 really whatevered that the guy's died. But, you know, as a childhood, he made our childhood happy. Saturday afternoons or wherever it was, I'm pretty sure it was Saturday afternoons, were a happy place because of Eric Sykes. And, you know, I can honestly, honestly, honestly say I will really miss him.
Mm-hmm. Russ, Chris, do you have any thoughts? Did you see any of his stuff? I know you're a lot younger than us.
Well, yeah. Go on.
No, sorry, you go on, Chris.
Well, I was just going to say my first memory of Mr. Sykes was in The Plank. My grandparents had a copy on VHS, which, yeah. You know, when I was young, they used to go around and put it on. It was bloody hilarious. Fantastic. But he was in things that you didn't really realise. He was he had a bit part in Goblet of Fire, right. Harry Potter.
Yeah.
He's done all kinds of stuff. He's been in TV series, and he's, you know, he's had his share of controversy, but through it all, he has been fundamentally funny and has contributed a great deal to British comedy. And I think he's still a little bit undervalued.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd agree 100%. With that.
Yeah. He should be on par with Spike Milligan. And Spike Milligan is wonderful. Yeah. Was wonderful.
What about you, Russ? Any thoughts?
Same as everyone else, really. He kind of passed me by in my early life, but you know, as I've got older and been more interested in this in old, you know, old comedy and things like that, I've come across a lot more stuff that he did, and it's a sad thing, but now that he's passed away, I will probably go in search of even more of it, and I'll wish I'd run into him a bit A bit earlier, I think.
Absolutely. So, I mean, hopefully, like, they'll release... I think you can get some of the series actually as Sykes now on DVD and stuff. But whenever he'd pop up in a film, like he was in The Others, and he was, like Chris said, he was in Harry Potter, he'd pop up and I'd go, hey, that's Eric Sykes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was exciting to see him.
Exactly,
wasn't it?
Yeah, because, you know, he was always just... it's Eric Sykes. I don't know why. And The Plank, I watched The Plank just the other week, strangely enough, and the fact that you can go and watch it on YouTube in its entirety is fantastic. Now, I don't know if it's there illegally, but you can search for it and you can watch it to your heart's content.
I'm sure he would have never sued anyone.
No, probably not.
Yeah, the thing I like, I can't remember who said it in the paper, but the quote was, "I like to think of Eric Sykes sitting up there with Harry Secombe and Spike Milligan having a giggle." And I thought, yeah, that's the way it should be. And funny enough, it reminded me of the Spike Milligan comment when Harry Secombe died. And when he was asked about it, all he said was, "I'm really glad he died first because I hate the idea of him singing at my funeral."
Oh, dear. Well, hopefully with them all up there, we'll have some good stuff to watch once we all get up there ourselves.
Oh, I'm sure we will.
All right, moving on. What have we been watching? So this is where we list all the stuff that we've watched throughout the week and the various places you can see it. Now, myself... I've done the whole Man With No Name trilogy, which is weird they called it that because he has got a name in two of the films. He's called Joe in the first one and Mandrake or something in the second one. But anyway, so you got
Blondie in the third one, isn't he?
Yeah, Blondie. But that's just I think he just makes that name up. Anyway, A Fistful of Dollars for a few dollars more and The Good, the Bad and the Ugly, all available in HD on Netflix at the moment. And I've also just started watching The Killing, the foreign version, also on Netflix. So I've got a few hours of viewing ahead of me.
The Dollars trilogy is available in HD.
Yes.
Wow. I'd be interested to see that. I'd like to see how that film has aged.
It looks really good. They've cleaned it up very, very nicely. I mean, apart from obviously the lip syncing issues, because I assume it was filmed in like Italian, but you know, Clint Eastwood still does his part. He still looks mean. He still looks the dude that you don't mess with.
So I heard this theory that they were actually going to remake it so the old film company couldn't get any money. And
go to the back of the class, you.
and the ride symbol at certain points in the film is really loud.
It's tremendous, isn't it?
All right, Russ, what have you been seeing?
All right, well, I've got. I was always a big fan of the comedy series Drop the Dead Donkey.
Yes.
As a younger man. But unfortunately, when it was originally on, I had to go to bed before it came on. So now I've got The Last Laugh, and I have series 1 to 5 on DVD, but I got the last series on iTunes. And it's available at a very reasonable price, actually.
Do you know what it is?
Unfortunately, I don't know what it is. But there we go.
Now, I've done a search earlier on. It's also on 4OD. Yeah. On the website, but I couldn't find it on the Xbox, so quite sure why that is.
It's you'll find if you watch the early series, the later on in the series, because they always used to have they used to write it as the week. It was a bit like what they do on Have I Got News for You. They were actually recording it as the news was happening. Each series, and I think in the last series they actually had to abandon that, and it was more of the place eventually shutting down and everything like that. But it's got some scary parallels with the earlier series have some really strange parallels with what's going on now. And the other thing I've been watching or I watched was the BBC's fantastic coverage of the Formula One at the weekend. I thought they did a fantastic job. Barring some audio problems on the forum, but speaking as someone who has done live audio on I've done it on a larger scale than that, but on quite a large scale, you run into problems all the time, so it doesn't matter to me. And also, I got the chance to test out the BBC's. I don't know how new it is. I think we talked about it on one of our two unaired pilots. the BBC's new sports streaming thing that they've got going actually works better on the iPad than it does on my Mac. It goes dreadfully wrong on my Mac. I don't know why, But I watched all of the qualifying on the iPad. It looked and sounded fantastic. And yeah, that's all I've been watching because I've been busy.
Busy. Yes. Good stuff, Alex.
Okay, quite briefly, I have, on the recommendation of Ewan Rankin and Carlos Madonis, I've started to watch Dexter on Netflix. And my first impressions were, oh my God, this is horrible. But I kept watching because it's got a very... I don't know if it's supposed to be humorous. I don't know if you're supposed to like a serial killer. But there's something about the guy that worryingly... I mean, he's quite cute, and I didn't know I was that way inclined either. But there's something about it that draws you in, and you keep watching, and you keep watching, and you think, look, I shouldn't be enjoying this. Everything about this says, this is too weird for me. I mean, I'm sure for other people it's not weird at all, but it's like, it's too weird for me. But I'll just watch another one. And then literally half a day is gone, your eyes are killing you, and you look down, you think, how many have I just watched in a row? And then you think, you know what? This probably is quite good. And it turns out that Carlos Madonis and other members of the network were quite right. It's a very, very interesting, entertaining in the most black-humoured way possible piece of TV. And sadly, I will carry on watching it and probably carrying on having bad dreams, but that's just because I'm a wuss. And to make myself feel better because of all this blood and debauchery and not enough sex, I must add, I watched The Fabulous Baker Boys because it's nothing like two people maybe pretending to play the piano but being quite famous, and Michelle Pfeiffer. And the girl can sing a bit, but, you know, it doesn't matter. It's Michelle Pfeiffer.
But mostly he's been gawping.
I think gawping started off and then I got tired, so it just turned into dribbling.
Chris.
Right, okay. First of all, Alex, you're going to have to tell me where you are in Series 1 of Dexter because I need to resume watching. I stopped watching when it was first on.
I'm about halfway through.
I was a bad man to stop.
Well, it probably was. I mean, I actually spoke to some people after a few days saying, does this, not a few days, a couple of episodes, like, you know, I'm really intrigued, but does it have to get so gory? And they didn't even remember that it was gory. So their theory is it started off gory to let you know that that's what was going on. And then it just came more suggestive because they didn't need the gore afterwards.
Only a little bit of blood. Only a little bit. Right. I am watching, like Ross. Ross? Russ? Riss? Rick? Rick? Roll? What? I don't know. I'm also watching the Formula One, but because I am a mug and pay Mr. Murdoch my Murdoch tax every month, I have the choice of watching both. And I still watched the BBC coverage this weekend and then watched the Sky coverage because I recorded that and then had a massive nerd rant on the Sky forums because the Sky coverage didn't have a patch on the BBC coverage. The BBC coverage was amazing. It was really, really good. So watch
That's
it.
That's good to hear, actually.
Oh, the Sky coverage, the BBC, as part of my nerd rant, I made the example of the development cycle in Formula One. Sky had a good initial vehicle, and they didn't develop it further enough. So the BBC have come on, and they kept on, iterating, improving, refining. They're slick. The team works. It's a good combination.
The combination of Jake Humphrey, David Coulthard, and Eddie Jordan makes the BBC coverage.
Yeah,
it's a bit like watching the Three Stooges, isn't it? It's that sort of.
It is. It's that simple.
Or the Marx Brothers or something. Yeah.
The bit where Eddie Jordan went into the offices in Force India. Oh, it's a classic. He's such because he just doesn't care anymore. He's just enjoying himself. It's great. It's great. But I thought I do miss having the whole team because obviously Kravitz has gone over to Sky. So
yeah,
Kravitz and Brundle are good, but. There's room for improvement, you know. It's a B minus at the moment. Yeah. Got to say, and I'm not.
I think you mean it's a B Sky B minus.
Ah, très bien, monsieur. Very good. New TV. I'm watching a series called Falling Skies, and I've just begun watching series two. I'm watching on the American schedule. I think it's got its premiere lined up on. Sky Atlantic or Channel 5 or something like that. But I recommend you watch it. It's an interesting concept, and there's a great twist at the end of season one. Great twist. It's got Noah Wyle in. If you're a fan of ER, you'll know who he is.
Also, if you're a fan of the excellent film Pirates of Silicon Valley,
played Steve Jobs.
Yes, and it's okay. It's not the most refined sci-fi series ever made, but it's a good bit of fun, and it's pretty grim and dirty, and you know that's what it's like. It ain't no Star Trek sci-fi. And I like the way that they present the premise. They don't spend ages with the exposition. They just dump you in it, which is exactly how it would be in real life. And for that, I think it adds to it. It's a great show. And give it a couple of hours of your time. Get into it. You might find that you'll like it.
Sounds like Deep Space Nine meets Queer as Folk.
It's possible.
No, you can't say anything bad about Deep Space Nine.
Oh, you're not bothered about Queer as Folk, though.
I never saw Queer as Folk.
DS9 wasn't the franchise's finest hour.
Oh, it's my favorite series of the lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, how really? We'll get to our Star Trek nerd fest in a second.
Okay.
When did you say we can see Falling Skies, Chris?
Well, it's on telly in the States, and if I do a very quick power Google as we speak, in fact, season two is going to start in the UK very soon. So season one is undoubtedly on some channel somewhere. The season two begins it's already begun on FX. July the 3rd was when the season two premiered, so it'll be on repeat in the UK, but it'll be on iTunes, or it'll be wherever you normally get your TV from on the internet.
Okie dokie. And Alex, you said Dexter was on Netflix. Where did you see Fabulous Baker Boys?
On my DVD player.
DVD, okay. I was just checking. Okay, we're going to have a possible spoiler area after the end credits. So if you want to hear about who possibly the Star Trek II villain is going to be, stick around for after the outro. In the meantime, Alex, where can we get hold of you?
Well, just before, there's two very quick things. One, I think I heard the phrase a power Google. Now, I think that is a phrase that is underused and should be used in common language. I applaud you for using it. Well done. And halfway through the show, I've got to say, I did stop. I did mute my mic because I was, what's the polite way of saying it? Really laughing very hard. My wife just sent me a text halfway through this. Now, she's taken my little son out as a, he did very well at school. And she's taken him somewhere. And she wrote to me, James is really enjoying it. I should take him to the theatre more often because of as the curtain went up and it started, he turned around and said, "My word, they're doing this one in 3D. And as she said, as the witch came down from the ceiling, he asked her, "Is that a Muppet?"
What are they going to see?
The Wizard of Oz.
All right.
And I just thought that was so cute. I just had to share it with the world.
So where can we
go? And you can get me at Alex G. Fox on Twitter.
And Russ?
You can get me at SS Drummer on Twitter, or you can find something at sfdrummer.com when I finally get my blog post about the bash up.
And Chris, where can we get hold of you?
Oh, pretty much everywhere. Christopher W on Twitter. Website is chriswoods.co.uk. Or if you're Google Plusified, gplus.2/Christopher Woods, and go and spam me on there because I want to use it more.
New iPad app for Google Plus out today.
Is there?
iPads.
Yeah. Very nice. It's not going to be available on the Nexus. Well, actually, it will be available on the Nexus 7.
My name's Carl Madden. You can get me at Clause0101 on Twitter. You can also get me on Worlds Apart with Missy every Monday. That's a show. If you want to stick around and hear the possible spoiler in our spoiler area, feel free. But until next time, enjoy yourself. Stay safe. See you next time. Right, now, if you're hanging around, that means you want to join our conversation about a possible spoiler for the new Star Trek II villain, played by the fabulous...
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah. Hang on a minute. Is this an epic spoiler? Do we need a spoiler alert?
Yeah, this is what.
Yeah, this is what we're in it now.
We're in it now.
Right. Spoiler alert.
No. I can hear myself.
Hmm.
I know. Yeah. I think I'm just imagining things. Yeah,
okay. So the villain, Benedict Cumberbatch, obviously plays the new Sherlock Holmes. Over here on the BBC. Now, there was much speculation that he would be playing Khan! But it might not be happening. According to Carl Urban, who was doing a press junket for his new upcoming Dread film, he let slip that Cumberbatch is playing Gary Mitchell, possibly playing Gary Mitchell. Now, if anyone knows about this Star Trek universe or history, Gary Mitchell featured in, I think it was the very first proper episode that they released of Star Trek, where he plays a friend of Captain Kirk and they encounter some strange mystical energy field that grants Gary Mitchell all these wonderful powers. And, of course, as soon as he gets lots of powers, he starts to turn evil and Kirk has to calm him down, so to speak.
I thought Gary Mitchell was like,
it's not EastEnders, don't
Phil, Gary.
Shut it, you slake.
Get out of my pub.
He could play like that, actually.
Look, I mean, apart from the logic of whatever we're talking about, Benedict Batch.
Benediction Chumbawamba.
Exactly. That's the word. He's a very accomplished young actor. I really enjoyed, I mean, this is very middle class of me, but I really enjoyed his portrayal of Vincent van Gogh. I mean, I know you all know him from, what's that fella called? I know you all know him from that. But, you know, he's a really accomplished actor. And the only thing I'd be worried about if I was in a film with Benedict
is being Mark Camembert.
Exactly.
It's been, I'll tell you where I'm getting these all from in a minute.
It's being upstaged because the dude can act. I mean, he looks really weird, but the dude can act.
Are you suggesting Chris Pine can't, who plays Kirk?
I would never cast an aspersion. Maybe a nasturtium, but never an aspersion.
What do you reckon, guys? You must be fairly Star Trek-y fans.
Well, when I heard that the villain had been revealed, because it was Carl Urban who gave it up, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Wasn't it? And I was thinking, well, either Carl Urban Carl Urban could just be a very big Star Trek fan and he's just messing with us. If he's doing that, then he can just get lost. But as soon as I heard that it could be Gary Mitchell from where No Man Has Gone Before, it's I was thinking, that'll work. Yeah, I'll have some of that because, quite frankly, as good as Barleycorn Fanny Pack is, I don't think he's going to be good enough to do Khan. Somehow, I think that will always be Ricardo Montalban. I can't remember.
Are you trying to say he's Khan? He can't.
Oh,
yes,
God. Chris, any thoughts?
Yes, but none of them about this.
I just want to see the next film. I'm getting angsty. I want to see it.
We got to wait till next year.
It's such a long time.
Which might not happen if we believe the Mayans.
No, I think next year will happen. Unless you're a Mayan and you got your calendars wrong, I think next year will happen.
Okay. I saw the first reboot or whatever it is, the first reboot, which completely destroys all of the previous Star Trek series apart from Enterprise.
True.
That is left untouched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the holy grail of Star Trek.
Go away.
I mean, this is like noise that comes across whenever someone says Uhuru. Yeah.
But anyway, the When I saw that remake at the cinema, I thought, yeah, that was good. Wow, this is going to be good. And then I rented it. I thought, yeah, that's still okay. Then I bought it. I thought, yeah, it's not very good, is it? I watched it a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, my God, that's rubbish.
Sorry, wow. You'd seen it twice, then bought it, and then decided it was no good.
Yeah, no, I bought it because I buy all Star Trek stuff.
Right. Oh, I love that film. I got to say, I love it.
So. At least we know how the franchise keeps going.
Because I pay for it all.
Exactly.
Well, there you go. So that's the possible spoiler. So we won't know until next year, or maybe a few months' time when they release some more facts about the movie.
And in Star Trek 3, it's Grant and Phil Mitchell.
And Dirty Den makes a comeback as well.
Exactly.
If you are a fan of Benedict Cumberbatch, then do a Google search for 15 other ways to misspell Benedict Cumberbatch. Things like Bandersnatch Cumberbund.
Too much time on your hands, Rust.
Heard it on the morning stream.
Okay. Yes, but it's used very profitably.
Right then, guys, thanks for joining us. See you next time.
Cheerio.
Bye.